by far my favorite station.
You're the best.
Oh, yeah.
I love you guys.
This is UK Talk Radio with the music you love and the chat you enjoy. Enjoy.
By far my favourite station.
You're the best.
Oh, yeah.
I love you guys.
It's time on UK Talk Radio to catch up with a super awesome band. They are Pagan Lust, and they blend several genres together: rock, metal, blues, punk, and funk. Their website to find out more about the guys is paganlust.com. That's paganlust.com. Many of the themes of their songs look at human weakness and frailties, which, of course, we all have. We're going to play their new song, Woke, in just a moment. But first of all, let's talk to the band and find out more about them. So, guys, can you introduce yourselves and tell us a little about the instruments you play within the band?
My name is Bern, and I'm the vocalist for Pagan Lust.
I'm a hardcore. I play guitar and write most of the material.
My name is Byron. I'm the drummer. I do some backup vocals and some other various instruments here and there.
My name is Rick Bro. I play the bass, harmonica, background vocals, and I provide snacks.
very quality snacks as well.
Very essential part of any band, I would feel.
So, yes, absolutely.
Thank you guys for introducing yourselves. So let's take you back to the very beginning. So how did the band first form? How did you all get together?
Me and Rob were in a previous band, Electric Breakfast, together. And when that crumbled, we just both were heavily motivated to start again and make something even better. So we found Byron. I was working at in a school district at the time and met him through there. And we went out and played disc golf together. And my first question was, tell me everything you play. So we got him in. And then
he was playing guitar. He was playing guitar and flute. He wasn't playing the drums. We had another dude playing the drums who was, let's just say, not as rehearsed as we would have liked. And so Byron kept sitting in on the drums. And side note, too, where we were rehearsing, that's kind of important. We had to take a big, 16-foot ladder. And we were playing on top of the roof of a compressor building that was inside of an auto parts store. So we were hauling our gear up this ladder, and Byron was playing guitar, and we needed a drummer. And so Byron is a music teacher, so he kind of plays a little bit of everything. And so he started playing the drums, and what I immediately noticed anyway is that drummers tend to they keep time, right? That's their job, to keep the time. Well, Byron, because he plays saxophone and flute and guitar, and he's a music teacher, he has a very melodic sense to him. If you listen to Pagan Lust music, you'll find that as a bass player, I love playing with Byron, because he's not just trying to keep it. If you listen to different drum beats of every song, it's not like he's a metronome. He's got a very melodic sense to him. And I think that I was the one who was had to kick out the other drummer for make way for a better drummer. And so that was a little awkward, like it always is, but it was definitely worth it.
Thanks for the nice words, Rick. I'll get the check in the mail to you. Appreciate that.
American money this time. I don't want those pesos, buddy. Okay.
Yeah, well, I was gonna pay you in pounds, but
pounds are fairly good. Probably the euro would be slightly better, but yeah. so fantastic. So a great start to the band. For anybody who's not familiar with your music, what kind of genres do you cover?
I'd say we've got a really wide variety. We all have pretty deep musical influences, and a lot of them are very common amongst the four of us, and then a lot of them are vastly different. And so I think that's a cool way to sort of meld the styles that we have. You've mentioned it before, we cover funk rock, blues, metal, punk. It's kind of an amalgam of everything. And one of the things this hardcore is great about is writing open music. And so he'll come in with an idea of a song, we've got the structure, and then we're all pretty free to interpret how we see fit and build something out of that. So we have a lot of tracks that are greatly different than how they started out. And I think at the approval of everybody in the group. So that's kind of a neat way to to go about the way our we write, which I realize is a little divergent from your question, but we do have a broad spectrum.
Yeah, I agree with Byron. I think that's an important aspect of Pagan Lust, and that is, generally speaking, my experience with songwriters and musicians in general is it's their baby. You know, it's they have it, they hear it in their head, they know what they want, and then they try to help the musicians interpret their material. And that's kind of normal, right? That's natural. What happens in Pagan Lust is the actual opposite of that. Hardcore brings a really ghetto, raw.
Thank you, man.
You bet. He gives us like this kind of ghetto recording of him howling away and playing acoustic guitar or whatever on his porch. And that's pretty much his contribution. He'll write, you know, it's a piece of clay, and his expectation is that we just take it and run with it, do whatever we want. Like the bass line, I might be slapping it, I might use a pick, I might just try whatever I want to. But it's not like any time we're like, well, Corey, what do you think about this? We don't say that, because that's not what we want to do. That's not the expectation. So sometimes Byron and I, you know, being in the rhythm section, we get to go in cahoots big time. We can take that thing and flip it upside down, change the dynamics to it. And we've done that. We've had some songs where we really didn't like the song initially, and we said, hey, whatever you're doing, chorus, bridge, verse, do something completely different. And then just mess with it until we like it and we're having fun. So that's a really unique, in my opinion, a very unique approach to the music, where the songwriter is basically goes hands off as soon as he gives us this really not even a skeleton sometimes. You know, it's chord changes and, you know, him, you know, wailing away on an acoustic. And that's it. He's pretty much done once we get a hold of it. It's pretty cool.
So a fantastic approach to the songwriting. The song that we're featuring on UK Talk Radio is Woke. So tell us a little bit about the song itself and give us an idea on what it's about.
Woke is pretty obviously what it's portraying, which is, let's rip on this whole woke culture that's ridiculously out of control. And yeah, I mean, wokeness at its base makes sense to be more awake than asleep, you know, in caring about other people around you. But unfortunately, you know, it's mutated and perversed into
softness.
A way for losers in their basement to get some attention. I think that's a kind way of saying that. So that's really what I wanted to tear apart in that.
Keyboard warrior culture.
Yeah, keyboard warrior culture, Rob says a lot. A lot of the songs I write are, look, there's plenty of material of frustration in society today with how, you know, ridiculous things are getting and how further apart people are pulling from each other and from trusted structures in society as well. That, you know, that's usually what I end up going after out of just frustration of maybe hoping that some people hear the song and wake up and, you know, not be as entitled or trolly or insensitive to other people.
And I think and music wise, I think when we saw the lyrics too to that song that were written, if you listen to the song, it's kind of like right in your face at the beginning, you know, like almost like, you know, a little bit angry and frustrated. But then you hear the song drops down into this almost ballady area where Rob very sensually almost sings, you know, would you cancel me if I saved your life or did something wrong? You know. Are you, you know, hearing the message singing in this song, you know, would you cancel your mom? Would you cancel your pa, knowing all that they've done? You know, it's like, it's kind of also like it's angry, but it's also asking the listener to ask themselves a question, you know, would you? And if the answer is yes, well,
that's where the troubles of society brew from right there.
Perfect than me, throwing stones so fast and free, and no one suffering me denied. Who with me would disagree? You're surely public enemy, and nothing can save you. My pity is fine. In my heart, I believe I'm making a change. I just blindly defend. Was I righteous? Facebook tells me who to hate. With YouTube I disseminate. No research, just pass it along. Look at me, the ugly troll. Post the boy for birth control. There's my trending, don't care right from wrong. In my heart, I believe I'm making a change. My delusion, I'm as blindly different. Was I righteous? But I'm clueless. I'm judgmental. Save your life, I said something wrong. Do you think this helps, or can you start to see what I'm saying in this song? Would you counsel your mom, would you counsel your family, knowing all that they've done? You're everybody's body, don't forget what they say, living tight by the gun.
Most of our songs are heavily topical and current frustrations. But then, you know, I'll write
a grease truck.
Grease truck is about the simple joys of a pork roll, egg, and cheese sandwich off of a very healthy vehicle. And, you know, then we'll have stuff like Feeds, which is, I kind of picture that as the 30s, 40s campy horror movie kind of thing. So I would agree with your initial statement that societal frustrations and nuisances are usually the bulk of what I go for. But just like when these guys were rattling off all the different styles that we do, anything could come up.
We have some tongue-in-cheek songs as well that have some sort of hidden meetings or almost kind of inside joke meetings too that some people will figure out and some people won't. So it's kind of fun to keep people on their toes in that regard as well.
Absolutely. Surprises are always good, aren't they? I mean, then it means that the followers are, it's not so good when things become predictable. So I can really get that idea that you wanted to vary it a bit. Now, for our listeners, you kind of talked about the songwriting process. So when you go to record a song, how does that work and how do you all fit into it? So do you do it as a live take or do you layer it up as you go along? Tell us a little bit about that process.
I can jump in unless you guys want to. We're based in Northern Colorado, in the United States, of course, and Denver, the largest city, is about an hour and a half down. So we've got a great studio down in Lakewood, a suburb of Denver, FTM Studios, and our engineer Steve has been nothing but helpful and just fun to be around. We always have a good time in the studio. A quick run-on of the process, we typically do a live take to set the drum tracks. So the pressure starts out on me to try to get stuff dialed in as quickly as possible. Once we've done that, kind of depending on the take, sometimes we'll keep a bass or guitar track, the live take, if it's clean. If we need to go back and redo takes, we will. But the drum track is the number one to try to get that down tight, or at least as tight as I can play. And then, and like I said, if we're able to keep some of the other tracks, we do. If we have to record, just like kind of your normal studio process, we do. and layer up from there.
And I think, too, this band is always very open to. So, for example, on the first album, like Woke is off of the first album, Societal Plague. We had a new album come out a couple months ago, Kami Salami Mami. And what I wanted to what was very the same for both sessions was sometimes we have things in our brain that when we're working on call it the foundation, we're working on the song in our studio up in Granby, and then when we get to the recording studio, I know there's been some things in my brain where I'm like, I hear these harmonies, and so what I'll do is I'll say, hey guys, Can I go drop these harmonies? Let me know what you think. And so I'll go in and sing some harmonies, or say hardcore. Hey man, there's an organ, and I mean the playing organ, not anyway. There's an organ in the other room. Why don't you go sit in there, man, and play with that and work on some of the sounds so we can get a little background there. And you know, one of the funniest, most famous moments where we kind of got a little spontaneous is we were working on the beginning of the song Unwanted Man off of the first album. And it was good at the beginning. It's kind of this creepy carnival kind of beginning. It's very makes you uncomfortable almost. I like it. But there was something missing. And I happened to be going down. I had a different gig. I play electric bass with these guys, but I play upright bass too. I said, you know what that could really fill this out? I said, is an upright bass with a bow right there. I've got one in my car. And hardcore immediately started laughing and said nobody ever, who drives around with an upright bass just in their car. And you know, hey, I drive a big old Volvo wagon, I can fit all kinds of stuff in there. But and so I went out to the car, I grabbed the upright bass, and you know, laid down this nice droning, you know, low end for the beginning. But a lot of that, so we record, as Byron mentioned, we record the songs live, but then we might layer on some extra little tasty tidbits as we want, and everybody's always open to each other's ideas. And you know, Byron has a great idea, we put it out there, hey, that's a great idea, man. And it's just, it's very it's always been very collaborative. We've never, to my knowledge, we've never argued about music or anything like that. And it's usually, if we're arguing about something, it's whether or not we wear pants.
But best to in public, I would guess. And what about live gigs? So do you do live gigs? And what's the experience like if you do?
We do play live. Like I said, we're based in Northern Colorado, and bluegrass and acoustic music is king up here in our area. And so our gigs are a little thin in this area right now, but we're gaining traction and expanding where we're being able to play. We actually have a gig coming up in about a month from today, here in town at a local bar called Devil's Craft, which we've played at a couple times, and it's a great venue. They're good to us. Should be a good crowd, and it's around Halloween, so that kind of fits in with some of our kind of spookier songs, so it'll be a good time. We play around the area here and there, and are just pushing hard through the powers of the internet as well lately to get our sound out there. We're on all the streaming platforms with both albums, Societal Plague and Kami Salami Mami. And if listeners haven't checked out that second album, go give it a listen. There's some really good gems in there, and there's some hidden things that are fun to find. So
yeah, we're looking more towards probably setting some more, you know, traveling around a little bit and setting some gigs up for the spring and fall. We live is about, you know, between 8,000 and 9,000 feet in the middle, you know, in the Rocky Mountains. So travel in the winter is not necessarily our favorite thing. Me, for example, these guys know my driveway. If we get a snowstorm, it's going to give 18 inches of snow and it's going to be windy. You know, if I'm not there to plow my driveway, you know, two or three times a day, when I get home, I won't have a driveway and I won't be able to get home. So we will be travel a little bit more for gigs in the warmer months when we can leave our homes and get back to them.
Sounds like quite an obstacle, just leaving your own house. That sounds quite difficult. And the last question, it's been fantastic to talk to you. So one at a time, what is your, and this is not going to be an easy question to ask or answer, I should say, but what is your, so going through one at a time, what is your favorite track that you've all done? And why do you like that particular track? What is it about it? So if we go through each of the members of the band one at a time, please.
I'll start off. I think my favorite is last track off the first album, Everything You Took. I I try to push punk influences as much as possible. Although, as Rick said before, I have so many influences that who knows what can come out. But the hoppy punk songs are my favorite. And that's got that nice hoppy bounce to it. And I like the way the lyrics came out. It's really neat how it's almost formulaic. It starts off all these heartful things that you took from me by leaving this relationship. And then it twists and morphs and perverts. And then it starts to get into material and emotional things that I've lost. And then from there, it just, well, actually, downward. Downward is the way it goes. So I love the lyrics of that one, and I love how it,
yeah.
I love the poppy punk kind of moving sound.
Yes,
that's my favorite.
Okay, next member of the band then, same question, really. What's your favorite song and why?
I can go next. I'm torn between Why Marge off the new album and Odd off the old one, but because you asked for one, I'll go with Odd. For all of us, but especially for Rick and I being the rhythm section, that song is in 5/4 time. It's also in 4/4 time, and it's in 7/4 time. And that's a whole lot of fun to mix up those time signatures with. And the entire meaning of the song is completely different than anybody probably thinks. And we won't divulge that information. You've got to get really tight in the inner circle to figure out, but it has some comedic elements that are inside jokes. The tune is a blast to play. It takes a lot of focus and concentration, at least on my part, but I'm not as smart as these guys. So I try to keep everybody from falling apart. But it's a blast to play in rehearsals, a blast to play in the studio, and it's a blast to play live.
It was a very challenging song to write. I actually had to set up in Audacity a click track of 5/4, 4/4, 5/4, 4/4, and then the 7/4. Because if I'm left to myself, I'm just going to slip back into a 4/4, which is 99% of everything we listen to.
Yes.
Outside of waltzes, I guess.
That's right. That, I think that's correct, actually. Okay.
But I'd be impressed if anyone could figure out what Odd means. That should be the challenge for your listeners.
Maybe we'll have a poll someday.
That's a good idea. I might put that forward to the listeners. And so, who wants to go next? Then who has it?
I'll go next. And Byron's right. You know, we're all a smart bunch of dudes. I think we've got between the four of us, I think there's 7 degrees, something like that. And Byron's working on the 8th. But my favorite song, I think hands down, is the first song off the new album. It's called Dispossessed. And quite simply, I like that song because, I mean, the message is very good. It's kind of about just basically judging folks on their possessions, you know, versus kind of their what really matters. But honestly, why do I like Dispossessed? Jeff, the song just rocks. Okay, Rob's vocals on that song, if it doesn't make you want to start just, if it doesn't raise your blood pressure a little bit, then you're not listening.
Brilliant. And last question.
Yeah, it is a very difficult question to answer. There's so many, you know, tracks there that are, I guess you could say, near and dear. So to pick out one is a tough one. But I think I'd have to lean towards Lucifer from the first album. And I think it just combines so many of the elements that are so quintessential pagan lust. Starting off with Byron's drumming. And he bangs away this heavy tribal drum track that was just unbelievable. And, you know, blending that with, you know, hardcore's, you know, sort of scathing lyrics about society, sort of showing how, you know, Lucifer is a representative of our own incessant needs for things like status and wealth and power and recognition and things of that nature, as opposed to the typical image of Lucifer that we, you know, typically abide by. But and then from my own personal perspective of it, it was a lot of fun vocally to kind of delve into this sort of gothic style vocals that I got to play around with quite a bit. So overall, you know, it was really representative of Pagan Lust as a whole, and it was a lot of fun for me personally to sing.
It's also one of our very first songs, I think. It's an old track for sure. Yeah. So that goes back pretty deep.
One of our originals, yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And just to round off, can you remind us of your website so that we can get further details?
Yeah, you can check us out at paganlust.com. And we're also on all the major streaming platforms, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, and so forth. Find us on Facebook and Instagram as well. Look forward to hearing from a lot of your listeners as well.
Yeah, we can't thank you enough for inviting us to this interview. It was really wonderful chatting with you, and we can't thank you enough.
Thank you, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. We've got to know more about you, so thank you for sharing your insights and your music with us. You can find out more about Pagan Lust by going to uktalkradio.org/themusicofpaganlust. That's uktalkradio.org/themusicofpaganlust. And currently, Pagan Lust are in the UK Talk Radio Hot 100 with that fantastic song that we've just played, which is called Woke. And you can also see the gallery for the band, find out more about their music, contact them by going to their website, which is paganlust.com. That's paganlust.com.